Touch on a subject here tonight which might be a little touchy. A touchy subject to touch on, all right? The world is celebrating Easter today. I thought I would do it in the evening service because I thought we'd have a lot more people here tonight. But have the faithful here tonight. And so I think it's okay that we just go ahead and do this one more time. And understand why we stand where we stand here at Ray Street Baptist Church. I've got some handouts here for you. Chris, if you already have one of these and you don't want another one, just let Chris know. How about someone on this side over here? Jason? Okay. I'll have that timeline as you're getting it there up on the wall here as well, but I just thought I'd put this up here just to ask the question, was Jesus 3 days and three nights in the grave? 3 days and three nights in the grave. I believe he was. And because this verse of scripture here, Psalm 138 and verse 2, and you might say, I can't see it in this verse, but I do. And I think that you will too, actually. If you're a fundamentalist, if you say, what the Bible says, I believe. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, that kind of an attitude. Then I think that you'll agree. Psalm 138, verse 2, the psalmist, David, says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Therefore, what God says, what he speaks, and if what he speaks is written down, His words mean more to him than his own name. And I would hope that's true of yourself, that your word is more important than who you are even, what your name is. If you lie, guess what people are going to say about you? You're a liar. If you tell the truth, people are going to say he's honest. We have a president in the past, Honest Abe, right? Because he was known to be honest and truthful. I wish we had some more politicians like Honest Abe today. I think that's our main problem today in the political world is truth. Truth. Nobody wants to say the truth. Everybody bends it or twists it to accommodate what they want. But here in the Bible, David says, For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And having said that, there's a verse of Scripture up there, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Let's just take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. This time of the year is definitely an important time of the year in reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to do any kind of celebrating at all, which I still don't think is absolutely necessary that we have any kind of celebration about it. For we ought to be preaching on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ all the time, all year long, every chance we get. But if you wanted to say there's a time of the year in which it is important, it would be the Passover time. because Jesus died on the Passover. Now, I don't know if you notice, but Easter and Passover on the calendar hardly ever take place at the same time. That's because Easter is something strange, okay, to the Word of God. Passover is not. Passover is the day our Lord and Savior died on the cross. Definitely He did. Now, whether the Jewish calendar still has it correct or anything from the many years that have passed by is not critical. And nowhere in the Scriptures are we told to set aside a specific date to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, except the first day of the week, where we meet together as a result of Jesus Christ appearing to His disciples after He rose up from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." By the way, the words "for us" are not in the King James, or in the new versions of the Bible. They take "for us" out of there. They just have it, "for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed." I like "for us." Sacrifice for us. So don't give me any other Bible. Just hang on to your King James Bible. The importance of God's Word. God's Word has preeminence. Our salvation is based upon it. The Word of God is trustworthy. If Jesus said it and it is not true, then all God's Word would be questioned. And as far as Easter and Passover coming together and becoming a Christian observance and celebration, there's a danger in mixing paganism with Christianity. And Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 very clearly warn us against mixing paganism with Christianity and bringing them together. And I believe that the celebration of Easter on the part of the Christian church, the true Christian church, is just that, a mixing of paganism with Christianity. Now, Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. And the time element of the Passover is on the 14th day of the month Nisan. And it commemorates the night when the death angel came over Egypt, and in every home that did not have the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn son was slain in that home. Now, Moses told the Israelites to make sure that they have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost that night. And the word Passover refers to the angel passing over the land and slaying all the firstborn children of the homes without the blood on the door. So that's why we sing that song, "When I See the Blood, I Will Pass Over You." You know that song? How many know that song? Raise your hand. "When I see the blood, when I see the blood," you know, "when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Jesus is our Passover. He is the lamb slain with the blood on the door for you and for me. That cross stands there as the emblem of suffering and shame and the blood of Christ. He taking our punishment for our sin. The lamb took the punishment for the sin of Israel that night. For Israel was in Egypt because of sin and wandering away from God. And the blood on that door that night saved their souls, the firstborn at least of every one of the homes. And so the Passover is the time in which our Savior died on the cross. Then we find that 3 days and three nights later, He rose up from the grave. Go to Jonah, the Old Testament book of Jonah. You have to hunt for that in the minor prophets area. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. You'll find it there. If you see Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, then Obadiah and Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17 says this. You know the story of Jonah and the whale? Jonah was told to go preach the word. He ran the other way. A storm came. They threw him into the sea. And a great fish swallowed up Jonah that day. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, I heard a commercial put out by Pastor Larry Bird, and it's the Baptist Church over in Bethlehem on Dewberry Avenue there. Can't remember the actual name of the Baptist Church. If it's Calvary Baptist Church, I think it might be Calvary Baptist Church. And I heard him say that our Savior died on Good Friday and rose up on Sunday morning. That saddens me to hear a Baptist pastor talking like that. Because, quite frankly, when I was growing up as a youngster, all the Baptist preachers, I mean the faithful Baptist preachers I knew, had no time for the Good Friday thing and the timing of the Good Friday. Folks, it takes 3 days and 3 nights for this event to take place. And you cannot get 3 days and 3 nights from Good Friday to Sunday morning. Now, what they'll do is they'll say, well, really what God meant there, and I just don't like it when people try to tell me what God means. I want to hear what God says. And then let the Holy Spirit help me to understand what He means. Just give me what the Bible says. 3 days and 3 nights. And before I say any more, you've read there what happened to Jonah. Now go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 40. In red letters, in your red letter edition Bibles, Jesus is speaking. Jesus is talking. Verse 40. For as Jonas, that's just a New Testament way of saying Jonah, okay? Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, if you start on Friday evening, Jesus dying, you've got Friday night, Saturday night. Where's the next night? He's already up on Sunday morning, according to them. Well, what they'll say is, what God really means when He says 3 days and 3 nights, often He means that. He's just saying that in a symbolic way. It really just means a day. Any part of a day. So you got, part of Friday, you got part of Saturday, and then part of Sunday, He rises up from the grave. Well, Jesus knows how to talk. He knows how to say things. And He could have said that if that's what He meant. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. I cannot, as you look up here, I cannot get 3 days and 3 nights from right here, Friday night, Saturday night. That's only 2 nights. All right, if you do say any part of the day is equal to a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it works for them then. That's if they help God out in explaining Himself to us. God doesn't need help. God speaks, and we should just take exactly what He says. In 8 verse 31, He says it again. For He taught His disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him. And after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day. So, the Lord knows how to talk. He knows what to say. And Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights. The Bible therefore demands a 72-hour period with 3 days and 3 nights from the time that he dies to the time and he's put into the heart of the earth to the time he arises up out of the heart of the earth. The Lord's enemies even knew that he said he would rise after 3 days. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. Matthew 27, after he was dead, the Pharisees and the leaders came to Pilate. And in chapter 27, verse 62, they say this, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. I wonder if they had some conviction about what they had done. And they just wanted to make sure that Jesus wouldn't be able to do something strange or unusual here and make things worse. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Wow. They made it as sure as they can. And there lay the creator of the universe, with all the power of the universe, behind their little seal. I believe that Jesus rose up from that grave before that stone was even moved away. I don't believe that Jesus had to wake up and then go on over there and struggle with the stone and move it over so that he could squeeze his way out of the grave. I believe he was out of that grave, and rather the stone was rolled away so that men could look in and see it was already empty. Not that Jesus could escape. Death could not hold him, we sing, right? Lo, in the grave he lay. Death, the grave could not hold our Savior. Up from the grave he arose. They moved the stone away so that they could go in and look. What a wonderful Savior is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful story it all is. And to bring it down to the sorry celebration that they have made of it from Good Friday to Easter, and even putting 40 days of Lent on the front of it, is a sorry state for the Christian church to be in. And I contend that all of this, the 40 days of Lent, the Good Friday, and the Easter celebration, does not come from the Bible, but rather comes from paganism, which entered into the church in the early first century. And by the fourth century, it was well received and being done on a regular basis. It's a sad thing, I believe, though, that all down through the ages, Bible believers, strong, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians, avoided the celebration purposely in order to be faithful to the Word and to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to mingle our Savior and the Gospel with paganism and idolatry in any way. So, the Sabbath was drawing near. Now, I'm going to see if I can get this thing to go forward here to the next. And there we go. I want to see which one looks better. Does that one look better to you from that back there? Of course, you have it on your lap. Or does that one look better? Which one do you like better, the white one? You like that one? Looks pretty good. How many want white? Raise your hand. All right, we'll go there. It looks like that's pretty much the majority rule there. Sorry, Dave. There you go. It's hard to read it anyway, but if you got your sheet there in front of you, you can follow along with what I believe is the timetable for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have this split up into to the days. You see over to the left, Friday, then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's when I believe it was the day of the week in which our Lord and Savior died, on a Wednesday. The disciples prepared for the Last Supper on Tuesday evening, and that was what is referred to as a day of preparation. The Passover would be, as you can see, on the Thursday of that week, all during the evening. And you see the lines going up perpendicular from the line. If you look over on the left here, it says 6 p.m. In other words, these lines here will represent the Jewish beginning of a day. Their day begins at 6 p.m. And I think I can ask Marge, that's true, isn't it? She's married to a Jew all her married life. And it's 6 p.m., correct? That starts the next day. And so I have this right here, 6 p.m. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were very concerned about getting his body off the tree and into the grave before the Passover approached. To them, it was a desecration to allow the bodies to stay out there on the cross when all of Israel was supposed to be having a very sacred time, a celebration of the Passover in the land. So they went and asked for Pilate to make sure that he was dead, get him buried, and he instructed to go out and break their legs, if you remember that part, in order to hasten their death. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ and found he was dead already. And of course, they put the spear into his side and out flowed blood and water. But they didn't have to break his legs, which was a fulfillment of Old Testament scripture that said not a bone of him was broken. Now, the other two men, their legs were broken to hasten their death. Apparently, they were still alive. But Jesus, having gone through the agony and the suffering for our sins, already expired on that cross before they would break his legs. And then, you know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus begged the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and tenderly put it, wrapped it up in the linen clothes and laid it in Joseph's tomb where never a man was buried. He was a rich man and had his own tomb with a stone in front of it. And he was buried before 6 o'clock approached. And so right here is where our Savior dies and he was buried. And I have down there burial. And folks, 72 hours needed to transpire before he would come up from that grave. 3 days and 3 nights. You've got one night here, second night there, the third night here. You got a day here, and a day here, and a day here. 72 hours. And quite frankly, again, I go against the tradition of the day, I do not believe that Jesus rose up on Sunday morning, but rather he was already alive come just before 6 p.m. of the first day of the week, the day starting in the evening. Just before 6 p.m., up from the grave he arose. You say, well, he appeared to them all on Sunday. That's right. He appeared to them on Sunday. And very early in the morning, of course, you can see this is 6 p.m. And so right around the clock, what was Jesus doing? Well, heaven presented himself there. There were several things that had to take place. But he apparently didn't go all the way to heaven with his blood right then and there. Because very early in the morning, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other women. And remember when Mary's eyes were opened to the fact that he wasn't the gardener, but it was actually Jesus Christ there. She wanted to grab a hold of him. He said, don't touch me. Because he has to go to his Father. And sometime after that, he ascended into heaven. And I believe presented his blood to the Father up in heaven as the payment for your sin and my sin. All this now is happening on the first day of the week. After he's already risen from the grave and presenting his blood to the Father, and then he comes back down to earth bodily, appears unto the women again, and this time they were allowed to touch him and handle him. And after that, of course, he even told them to touch his hands and his feet and put their fingers into the nail prints and the spear print in the side of him. I remember Doubting Thomas was told to do that, and that was days later. So, the first day of the week, Sunday, is not Resurrection Day. I know some Christians, they want, some of them who are not willing to use the word Easter, try to refer to the day as Resurrection Day. I understand, well, at least that's a good attempt to try to make something better out of it. But even that isn't accurate. I would say it's the Appearance Day, okay? He appears to his disciples on that day. The Sabbath was drawing near. Luke 23, and starting at verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went on to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And then reading on, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something interesting about the Sabbaths in reference to the days, the 3 days and three nights here. There is more than just the Saturday Sabbaths in the calendar of the Jews. Okay, some of their celebration days, their feast days of the year, were also called Sabbaths, which could fall on other days of the week other than the seventh day of the week. And what had to have happened here is that the Passover, landing on Thursday, was a Sabbath to the people of Israel. So they could have a Sabbath and then a day off and another Sabbath coming on, which was the weekly seventh day Sabbath. They always would cease from their work and rest that day. They would do the same thing on a Passover day as well. They would rest and not do work, just like a regular Saturday Sabbath. And so when Jesus died, they got him into that grave before the 6 p.m. Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, came on. And if you look, I have there John 19, verse 14. Let's look there, John 19 and verse 14. It explains what this day, the very first day of Jesus being in the grave, was. It wasn't your weekly Saturday Sabbath. See, that's why the people of today say, well, he died on Friday, and then there was a Sabbath day. They rested, and then they came to the grave, and he rose up from the grave on Sunday morning. There were two Sabbaths going on here. Two of them. Close on the heels of each other. And John 19 and verse 14 says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. This would be Pilate. So there was a preparation of the Passover going on here, not the seventh day Sabbath, but a Passover. Then down to verse 31. There, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, and then in parentheses, for that Sabbath day was an high day, a special Sabbath coming on. It was the Passover Sabbath. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. That Sabbath was a high day. And what happens here is that they had just enough time to get Jesus into the grave, and then they had to all rest and not do anything. And it wasn't until Friday, where we read in Luke 23 that the women bought spices and prepared spices for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't do anything with it because there was another Sabbath coming on and they had to rest for that Sabbath. And that's this Saturday Sabbath. Before they could even buy and prepare their spices, they wanted, I would assume, based upon what I'm reading there, they wanted to do a better job on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and just do more for his body and burial. That's an assumption on my part, okay? And they went out and bought these spices. They had to put Jesus' body in that grave quickly. And so they wanted to do a better job. They went out and bought the spices after he was already buried. But they couldn't go to the grave because another Sabbath was hurrying on. I don't know if it just took them that long to go to the marketplace to get those kind of spices and whatever. But nevertheless, the Bible tells that after they bought it, they had to rest another day. And it just fits right in with this situation here. And the following morning then, after that Sabbath was done, they could now do their work. It was too late to do anything, for the Lord was already risen from the grave. They had good intentions, but it didn't have to be done, because our Lord rose up from the grave before they could even get there in time to do that. Mary and Martha, clear evidence of two Sabbaths going on here. One, the Passover Sabbath. And we know that was there. I mean, it was the Passover that they were celebrating. The Last Supper was a preparation supper for the Passover coming on. So it's not a matter, well, you're just dreaming that up. No, it was the Passover. It was a high day Sabbath. Very obviously, the scriptures tell us the women